Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. In Tandem Theater is known for its love of comedy. And the play opening tomorrow falls square in the realm of comedy. Local playwright Michael Neville wrote Dracula versus the Nazis a couple of decades ago, and In Tandem put it on 10 years ago.
It's a two-person, quick-change show that sees each actor take on multiple roles. Artistic director Chris Fleer reprises his starring role in the production. Jane Fleer directs, and Doug Jarecki co-stars, and they are all with us in the studio. Chris Fleer begins by giving us some more insight into what theatergoers will experience.
The show is kind of like a graphic novel come to life on stage. It's fun and outrageous and...
Starting with the title,
which you should get. I would think you would get as comedy from the title.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
And so is this a new piece by Michael, or is this something that you've known about for a while? Or
Actually, Michael used to run a company in town called Playwright Studio Theater, and he wrote this play more than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And he and Chris performed it twice under the Playwrights Studio Theater name, and then In Tandem produced it with Chris and another actor about 10, 11 years ago.
Okay,
before I was here.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I didn't remember it from your back catalog.
It was fall of 2006, the season before we moved into the 10th Street Theater.
Okay, and I had just arrived.
Yeah.
So I probably didn't even know about you yet at that point.
And it felt like a good time to bring it back, and we really wanted to work with Doug again.
So how is it working on this piece? It's madness, I would think. You're each playing, what, about 20 characters?
Well, I wouldn't exaggerate, but we each play
never.
I never thought I'd hear that phrase come out of Chris Fleer's mouth.
I never, ever exaggerate.
We have it on tape that he doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't mean to exaggerate.
I'll need a copy of that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But so how many approximately are you guys each playing?
Six or seven a piece, something like that. Yeah.
It's a challenge. It's different from the sort of the usual. You play one character normally in a play, and it's a little easier to track the arc and the you know, the emotional track of that character. But with this, you're jumping from one storyline to another, and I mean, there are times when we're backstage with our quick changes, and we have that moment like, okay, what the heck are we next?
Oh, yes, who yes, are okay. we?
Yeah, yeah,
right. You kind of have to wait till you get the clothes on before you remember who you are. Yeah.
Do you have more people backstage helping to change clothes than on stage?
Yeah.
Wow.
Clothes and scenery, because there's a lot of locations as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess we should back up and talk about the various plot lines of this play. Please tell me what's going on and why there are so many scene changes and various things happening.
Sure. The play kind of centers around two machines. One is an occult machine that, through various incantations, will bestow eternal life. The other is a man-made machine called the neutron interferometer, which will transport you to the parallel universe.
Just the one parallel universe?
Just the one.
Okay.
For now.
You'll have to wait for the sequel.
Okay. Yes. Right. So it's 1944. And Hitler has learned of the existence of the pandemonium wheel, the occult machine, and he is keen to possess it because it will make him and his armies immortal. So he's trying to steal the thing.
And how does Dracula fit in?
The quote-unquote English government comes to a world-weary and reclusive Dracula to help them protect the occult machine from Hitler and hopefully even destroy it.
The machine.
The machine.
And Hitler.
Yeah, well, sure, why not?
To stop Hitler from taking
it. Yeah. Two for one. Yeah, it's good.
Sure. Yeah.
And so the two of you are, one of you is playing Hitler, and or are both of you? Is this switching around?
Now, here's the deal. Is that once we establish some of the characters in Act 1, you get to meet their parallel selves in the parallel universe in Act 2.
Mm. Oh, fun.
Some not all.
Okay. Right.
So you get to meet Ava Braun, and then you get to meet Parallel Universe Ava Braun in the second act. You get to meet Hitler, and then Parallel Universe Hitler. Dracula A and Dracula B.
Okay.
Yes. Renfield A and Renfield
yes,
B.
Yes. And, of course, Renfield's illegitimate half-brother, Frank, who lives in Brooklyn.
Of course. Of course he does.
And the much-beloved character of Oogie, who is the man-child idiot-savant who actually is the one that builds the neutron interferometer.
All right.
Charming character played by Doug. Yes.
Yeah. I have to say this reminds me, not the topic, not the subject matter, but the way it's working and sort of the madness of it, it reminds me of Irma Vapp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have to tell you that 10 years ago when we were picking a season, we wanted to do some kind of a quick change show. We thought seriously about Irma Vapp. So one evening I got them both. I read them both side by side. And Irma Vapp is a marvelous piece, and it's beautifully written, and it is extraordinarily faithful to its genre. But I got to tell you, page for page, Dracula versus Nazi had more laughs, so we went with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because having seen many productions of Irma Vapp and weeping with laughter. So you're expecting more bodily fluid.
Wear a diaper.
Yeah.
It's going to get messy.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay, so Jane, how are you corralling all of this? You are the director. You have to make sense of all this mess.
Wait, the show or this interview?
And now she can't even talk. Yeah.
They amuse me. They just really, I don't have to push. I don't have to pull. You know, these guys just ride right along. I've got two comic geniuses on my hands, which is great. They bring me a lot of stuff that I can then finesse, and we work together.
What are they getting here? I can't wait for them to come.
They're at the door. Yeah. We haven't let them in yet.
these are the parallel universe actors.
Yeah.
These
aren't the real ones. The real ones, yeah.
These guys are just delightful to work with.
One of the things about funny pieces like this is that it can be difficult to translate what you find funny on stage to an audience. I mean, is there any part of it where you have to say, you know what, I have to kind of hold back here so that the laugh can happen organically?
In a case like this, boredom is your friend, because we've been amusing ourselves for the last 3 weeks. But there comes a point at which you have to, I hope to get over that, you know, so that I can play the thing straight and let the audience come in and laugh at what's going on, you know.
Yeah. Right. So you have to get to that point.
Yeah.
An audience doesn't have the context of rehearsal, you know, where we riff on something and Doug is like the king of improv when something's not going right on stage.
Great.
come on. No pressure.
My script.
No pressure.
When something's not going right on stage, it's very amusing. But when it comes time, we've got to wrap it all up and say, okay, bag it and freeze it. This is what we want to do. Mm-hmm. This is what we got to stick to, because it's not an improv show. And we get that question a lot in talkbacks. And they say, you know, how much of what you did was scripted? And we say it's all scripted. We don't go off of that script. This isn't an improv show. But we're glad that you felt like it was, because then that means it feels very spontaneous and fun.
You know, and I think with a show like this, too, we've talked about, the madcap changes, scene changes and costume changes. It's it has to be more than shtick, or it's not funny. You know, so what we work on, and it all seems madcap, but it doesn't work unless you find the heart and you find the story, because there are real moments in the show that can get lost if you're focused only on, you know, making a goofy face or whatever. And I think part of the real fun that I have whenever I get the opportunity to work with Chris and Jane is there's a real discipline to doing a comedy. You know, there are times you have to hold back, and we never go for the laugh at the expense of the story or the bigger picture. And there's a real discipline and awareness that you need to know when to hit the accelerator with the comedy and when to hold back and let the story unfold a little bit more. So that's all. It's always like it's a fun puzzle with any play you do. With something like this, maybe there are a few more puzzle pieces to figure out. But it's a really fun problem to solve with every show you step into.
Yeah. Right. And I was going to say, we've talked about this before many times about the seriousness of doing comedy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that the end result, you want people to laugh.
Yeah.
But you have to be, as Doug said, disciplined and serious and take it seriously.
Yeah, you can't let the wheels come off the cart.
A comedy, just like a drama, you've got a character, and that character wants something, and something's in that character's way to get it, and that character's got to do something to get it. Comedy and drama are no different in that journey. That's got to be at the core of everything we do, or else it does just become, you know, vaudevillian pie in your face, you know, which has its moments in there. There's a fight scene that, you know, I wouldn't expect to see on a Shakespearean stage anytime soon. You know, but the characters themselves all have to have heart. They've all got to have something that's driving them.
They're going
to
be rooted in reality.
Be it greed, be it, you know, love, be it, you know, whatever that driving force is. And you'll find that even in characters in a play like this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't pick a play like this. If it were written that such that you couldn't find the heart of the characters, then it's not the play for us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even though our costume designer, Kathy Smith, has done a brilliant and beautiful job with the costumes, the show is not about changing costumes, you know? The costumes are there to let you know which character, you know, what character is forwarding the story at this point, you know?
Right. Yeah, it helps you establish what you're trying to do.
Because clarity is everything, you know? It all starts with clarity.
Well, it has to be, particularly for something like this. Like you said, there's so many puzzle pieces going along that if it's not crystal clear for you, it's certainly not going to be for us.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. And a lot of our work working on, you know, on interpreting the script is, you know, is getting it as clear, getting the story as clear as possible, you know, so that you can get on the bus and come along, you know.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Jane, Chris, and Doug, thank you so much for coming in. And hey, break a leg.
Thank you
very much. In those heels, I just might.
Jane Fleer directs, and Chris Fleer and Doug Jarecki star in In Tandem Theater's production of Dracula vs. the Nazis, which opens tomorrow and runs through the end of the month. You'll find links to more from WUWM.com.